T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley is behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. We'll get back to all the calls very quickly here in just a couple minutes. We're going to chat with Elliot in a second here about the Eagles, about the all the guys on the injury report today, which is not great, including Jason Peters, who sat out with an illness. Now, I saw a report from John Clark. This has nothing to do with COVID, which we know is obviously, it's made its way to the NFL here. Last week, a corner on the Falcons was put on the COVID list. Everyone else was okay. They played the game. But then this week, we know the Titans and the Vikings, who played each other on Sunday, both have players and coaches that have the illness. So it's impacting the league right now. It could actually have some ramifications on the Eagles, which we'll get to, because their next opponent is scheduled to play the Titans at least sometime the end of this weekend or early next week. We'll see on that. But all that going on, ton of injuries for the Eagles, ton of guys not practicing today, including Jason Peters for illness. We'll get the latest on that. And we got to talk some Carson Wentz, of course. Elliot Shoreparks, 94WIP.com and the Go Birds podcast. Elliot, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for having me on, man.
Elliot, always good to talk. And, things are not good right now for the Eagles. 0-2-1. So let me throw this at you, because I've been wrestling with this for a couple days now. Do you believe, Elliot, the Eagles are a bad football team, or are they, an okay kind of team that is being dragged down by the play of their quarterback so far?
I believe they're a bad team, but I also think that they're being dragged down by their quarterback play. And here's why I think that. If they were getting even average quarterback play, or the quarterback play that many people think Carson can achieve, I think they'd be 3-0. But I'll also say that, obviously with how poor Carson's playing, that hasn't happened. But I think the whole vibe of this team right now is just not good. I mean, from the games I've been able to see where I watch from the press box down to the sideline, I don't like what I see there. They come out slow. I think the game plan, although I think it's tough with Carson to have any type of game plan right now, I think we would all agree the game plans have not been exactly dynamic so far. So I do believe they're a bad team, but I also think they're absolutely 100% being dragged down by Carson.
So how do they get out of this? I mean, there's still 13 games to go, and there's like a vibe the way we talk about them as if this, it's not a good season, not a good team. And, if it's November, it's December, I think we could all say, okay, they're bad, let's move on, make changes. There's still 13 games to go. Like, they have to figure out how to get through a season here. I'm not sure how Doug does this. I'm not sure how he coaches around what Wentz is going through right now, because I do think it's beyond just physical. There's some mental stuff here, too. I mean, could they turn him into a game manager, run the football more? Like, how are they going to survive what's going on?
Well, the optimism you have to have is that, look, I think me and you have probably been more critical of Carson over the last year than anybody else, and I think we've proven to be correct about that. But I think even me and you would admit we never thought Carson would play this poorly.
Right.
And I do not believe over the next 13 games Carson is going to play this poorly. I think he will improve. Things will even out to a certain degree. And that will help. I mean, you're only a half game out of the division right now. So, Carson improving is going to help. But the two biggest things they have to overcome the rest of the season is, A, the schedule. And I think when you look at the next three games they have, San Francisco, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, that's an extremely tough stretch, where the Cowboys play three very winnable games. I believe it's the Giants, Cleveland, and Arizona in some order. So the schedule is going to be very difficult. The fact that you played Washington and Cincinnati and didn't get a win out of either of those is a major blow to your playoff chances. But the other one is they just don't have a lot of talent on this roster. I mean, when you look at today at practice, their top two receivers were Greg Ward and John Hightower. And people will counter and say, well, Deshaun's hurt. Well, Alshon's going to come back. Deshaun has always been hurt, and we have no idea what Alshon is going to be. Jalen Reagor is going to be out at least 3 weeks, if not longer. So there's just simply not a lot of talent on this roster for even if Carson were to improve. Yeah, last year with bad players around him to a certain extent, he was able to beat the Giants, Washington, and Dallas. They're not going to beat the teams on their schedule with this type of roster.
No, they're not, unless their defense steps up or they get lucky or they get a bounce. I mean, it's just going to be really, really hard to win these games. Elliot Sherparks, 94 WIP, joining us here as we talk some Eagles, 0-2-1, San Francisco on Sunday. All right, let's talk about all the injuries because you mentioned there's a lot there. You mentioned with the receivers. I mean, it took me a while to get through that list today when the Eagles put it out of all the guys that didn't practice today. One that I just want to point out is Jason Peters was out today with an illness. I saw John Clark said it has nothing to do with COVID, which right now is obviously in the NFL for the first time in a significant way. So is he all right? I mean, the Peters thing is just driving me crazy, Elliot. He got a raise. He has not played well. It seemed like he got fatigued at the end of the game on Sunday. Now we're missing practice with if it's not COVID, like, why is he missing practice? What's going on with Jason Peters?
Well, Jason Peters barely ever practices on a Wednesday. I mean, this is not a 2020 thing. This is a 2019, 2018, 2017. Like, Jason Peters, they manage his body. So he works during the week, but he does not do the normal workload of a younger player. So he did not practice today, but even if he didn't have an illness, he would not have been out there doing much. Now, the way the NFL and the NFLPA have agreed to it, if it is anything COVID-related or suspected of COVID, he has to go on the COVID list. So the fact that he was not on there is a sign that it's not COVID. You know, I guess potentially later in the week, you know, anything could happen. But as of now, there's no reason to think that it's COVID. But, you know, the play overall from him, it's definitely not been great. You saw that last week against Cincinnati, one of his worst games ever. Now, I don't believe Carson is helping his offensive line. He holds onto the pocket. He holds onto the ball too long in the pocket. He drifts way too far back in the pocket. I mean, some of those sacks Jason Peters gave up, Carson Wentz is 9-10 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Like, you're not really supposed to block your man to be that far down the field. So I think Carson has hurt him, but there's no denying Jason Peters looks like a 38-year-old tackle out there.
Yeah, he does, maybe even older than that. Elliot, I heard Ike today, you know, kind of mentioning Donovan McNabb had a tough start in 2003 and how Andy got him through that, and they ran the ball a lot, and they had a three-headed running back group that year, and then Donovan eventually came out of it, and the team was really good, and we know they went back to an NFC title game. Is that possible here? You know, like, Miles Sanders on the injury report today with a glute. We heard he was fatigued a little bit the first 2 weeks because he missed so much time in the summer. Like, that's the one obvious twist that Doug could put on the game plan is run the ball more, maybe stick to it a little bit more, you know, use Miles maybe the way they did the end of the season last year. Do you think he's built for that? Can he do it? Can they use the combination of Miles, Boston Scott, Corey Clement until Wentz gets some confidence back? Can they do it more than they've done it?
Well, first of all, I know it's been a rough week for my boy Ike in general, so I feel bad. You know, the LTBB community, it's a rough one. But, no, look, he's right. In 2008, when McNabb was struggling, they turned to that running game. The difference, I would say, is it's not 2008 anymore. You can't win in the NFL by running ball. And the teams that have really, you know, come close to that have been quarterbacks with teams with dynamic quarterbacks, like a Lamar Jackson, you know, that type of dynamic running quarterback. So I don't believe the Eagles have the personnel to do that. I think Miles Sanders is very good. I think he looked very good against Cincinnati. He looks electric with the ball in his hand. But I don't think Boston Scott has looked great. I don't think Corey Clement looked great. And I don't think you're going to be able to give Miles Sanders 30 to 35 touches a game and you're going to win that way. I think you could give him the ball a lot and he would do well, but that's not a way to win in the NFL. The Eagles have to figure out how to score points through the air. The fact that they've played three games and none of their receivers have a touchdown catch is ridiculous. So, yeah, I think you could lean on the running game a little bit more, but ultimately Carson and the passing game are going to have to carry this team to wins.
All right, last one for you, Elliot. Early feel. I mean, the one thing that people probably have noticed over the years, you've got a pretty good feel the last couple of years of picking their games and having a sense week to week on how they're going to do it. I'll give you my feeling right now. I don't think they're getting blown out Sunday. Like, the Niners are banged up. I know they got two straight wins, but they were over maybe two of the three or four worst teams in the NFL. I think this – I'll put it this way. If Carson Wentz doesn't turn the football over, they will be in the game in the fourth quarter. I don't think this is a 30-10 route. What's your feeling, you know, kind of early feeling on the game for Sunday?
Yeah. Well, I'm 50-20 picking these games over the last few years.
Pretty good.
So I feel pretty good about it. I get the reasoning of, you know, maybe it's not a blowout. The Eagles sometimes show up in these type of games. You look at the Packers game last year.
Yep.
To me, though, the biggest difference right now is the San Francisco 49ers are maybe the most well-oiled machine in the NFL. They're extremely well-coached. They very rarely beat themselves. They're extremely creative on offense. The Eagles, on the flip side, are a complete mess right now. They beat themselves. They don't look like a well-coached team. They have penalties at bad times. You're going on the road against an especially creative offense. Maybe they don't get blown out, but I don't think they win this game, and I think they probably lose by 10-plus. I just think right now, with all the injuries, everything going on, they are not good enough to go to San Francisco and beat the 49ers.
Yeah, and that coaching staff is great, especially Shanahan and what he does. Elliot, I appreciate you hopping on, and we'll talk soon. Hopefully a win coming soon. Otherwise, this is gonna be a lot to talk about, things we didn't expect to talk about this early in the season.
Amen. Hopefully it's a good game on Sunday night.
Elliot, appreciate it. There he goes. Elliot Shoreparks, 94WIP.com and the Go Birds podcast there. I'm not convinced they're getting rocked on Sunday. I'm going to be surprised if I wake up Sunday morning and pick a win. I just don't think they're capable right now going out there and winning the game. But I do think there's a chance this thing is closer than people think. 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Lou, who's out in Sacramento. He wants to say something about Middleton and the Klentak situation. What's up, Lou?
Hey, Joe, how's it going? Yeah, I just can't understand what he's waiting for. I really don't understand. Like, I do business consulting for executives, and there's many times when you need to take your time, look at all the facts, gather the facts, do the analysis. You know, you're doing a 3 to 5 year strategy. You want to get everyone involved. All the facts lead back to this guy was the GM for the last 5 years, and we haven't had a record over 500. So every day that goes by, there's another potential GM that might get taken up by another team. So I just don't understand. He says he's not a potted plant in the corner. Well, maybe he should be.
And yeah, they might be better off if he was. Lou, and it's interesting what you said there, that sometimes you do need time to reflect on things. And as much as it frustrated me last year, Lou, with the Gabe Kapler thing, because I thought he should have made a decision earlier. Like, at least that one, there's a path where you understand it, right? Like, he talks to players, he talks to people, like, is this guy a good leader? Do you believe in him? Kind of making sure he's making the right decision. Like, the Klentak thing should be black and white. Has he built a good team? No.
And, you know, I think one thing, you know, you're firing the hitting coach. Come on, get out. Just take a page out of Steve Jobs. Find people that are smart and let them tell you what to do. That's what good CEOs do. So he needs to do that. And I'm just frustrated. One thing on the Carson Wentz I want to add, it's a conspiracy theory. I don't know if it's true.
Oh, I love conspiracy theories. What do you got?
It's nothing scandalous, but he does have a daughter that's, what, not even 6 months old. Maybe he's just not getting a lot of sleep. You know, maybe he's just taking care of the kid, staying up late. I know I did. My kids, too. I took 6 months off, and best decision I ever made. Maybe he's just, his head's just at home with his family. I mean, that's not what you pay a guy making $128 million to do, but I don't know. That's, or maybe he thought it was COVID and they're not going to play. I don't know, but he needs to turn it around or else we're going to have some tough decisions this offseason.
For sure. And Lou, I appreciate it. Here's my take on the Carson Wentz is tired because he has a 6 month old at home. So I'll take it from two perspectives. One, the real life one. I've done this twice. I have two kids, 5-year-old and a 3-year-old. I've gone through that realm two times where you don't sleep, you're a zombie. Like the first 6 months of a baby's life, and I mean it's worse for a mother. They have more to do, but like you don't even know what day it is. Like you're just a zombie all the time because they just wake up and they don't sleep and all that kind of stuff. But that's everyone who's had kids, like. Everyone who's had kids, or at least for them, I think a lot of people that have had kids have probably had a similar kind of feel to their life. But and you know what? And I appreciate Lou's perspective. I would imagine, I don't know this to be fact, but I imagine most people can't take 6 months off of work to just be home, be with their family, you know, do that kind of thing and not have to worry about, you know, going to work or doing it. So most people got to just grind through it. Is it a plausible reason why he's not playing as well? I suppose. But I will also point to this. I remember Lamar Jackson last year during a press conference early in the season when he kind of started to emerge as a star player. He had a t-shirt on that was like my favorite quarterback thing that had worn a press conference ever. It said, "Nobody cares. Work harder." Like, I mean, honestly, whatever you do for a living, if the person that's your partner in a firm or your coworker anywhere, is struggling because they're tired because they have a baby at home and it's seriously affecting the product, nobody really cares. Like, you could be empathetic, but if Carson Wentz throws an interception on Sunday to Fred Warner in the first quarter, is anyone care he has a baby at home? Like, what are we doing here, Tucker?
I mean, you make $35 million a year.
You got to figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, hire a couple of nannies, build yourself a guest home, and get some sleep between the months of August and January.
Yeah, and I think there's something to that. And I think a lot of these guys probably do that, right? I mean, they're professional athletes. Like, it is a little bit different than you and I. Their bodies are their careers. Their physical well-being is their career. Like, I come in here tired a lot. I drink some coffee. We power through it. Like, that's not, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's a difference between doing what we do tired and standing on a grass field with 350-pound men trying to kill you.
I agree with that. But you have to figure it out.
Right. It shouldn't be a valid excuse.
Well, but we do have another little square we could fill in here with Carson Wentz excuse bingo. 6-month-old baby at home. Hold on a second. Wait, I just forgot something. Didn't Nick Foles
have bingo already?
No. Didn't Nick Foles hold a baby up at the podium in Minnesota?
Yeah.
What was that? What was she, 8 months old?
Something like that, yeah. So it's like 4 now or something.
So wait a second. So Carson Wentz is tired because of the baby at home. Meanwhile, Nick Foles is playing lights out in the playoffs with a baby crying at home?
He was probably in the film room until like 2 a.m. every day, so he didn't have to worry about putting his daughter
Nick Foles
to sleep.
Is a good dad. Come on. Come on now. You know he is. Ron is in York. What's up, Ron?
Hey, Joe. How are you?
Good, Ron. What's up?
So I noticed earlier you made a comparison to Josh Allen and how he went to the offseason and worked with, Tony Romo to improve himself, correct?
Yep.
All right, so if you remember, after Carson Wentz's up-and-down 2016 rookie year, he worked with a quarterback guru over the summer, and he then had his best season as an NFL player.
I think it was Tom House was his name, yeah.
Yep, okay. Well, the Eagles told him not to do that again, and he hasn't been right since. Not only that, it's kind of hard to be a developing and growing quarterback and you sustain an injury and then you keep getting new coaches every year. I mean, I know that's making an excuse for him, but I mean, that is a big deal. I mean, imagine breaking your leg and having to relearn how to walk and then you break it again.
I think it's fair to point out that the last two off seasons, like not this one, the two prior off seasons, he wasn't able to have normal off seasons because he's rehabbing. I mean, but that's not the case this year. I mean, he was fine this year. He wasn't coming off of an injury. The concussion, yes, but not like a physical, you know, where his back or his knee or something. He had a normal off season this year.
So how was he supposed to progress? I mean, I feel like if you're telling him not to go and get outside help, it's now your responsibility to make sure he continues to develop.
Well, it's also his to accept coaching. I mean, the story you brought up is totally true. But also, there's been stories that he fights back on coaching. Like there was a story last year that he bullied Mike Groh, that he didn't want to listen to what the coordinator was telling him. I think he's stubborn, Ron. I mean, I do. I think he's a stubborn.
He probably is.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of star players are, but I think that it's affecting things.
Well, think back to Tom Brady. I mean, Tom Brady wasn't that. He was never a terrible quarterback. But, you know, he's always had consistency at the offensive coordinator level. Look at, he still is offensive coordinator for the Patriots.
McDaniels.
He's had the same coordinator for how long?
Well, he had it for a while. Yeah, he had it, and then obviously, and Ron, I get it, and I appreciate it. You know, he had it, and McDaniels left for Denver, then he came back when he failed as a head coach. He's had it. I mean, he also had Charlie Weiss when he was young. I mean, he had some different guys in there, but... But again, the one thing about working and the craft, like Tom Brady is working his butt off 24 hours a day because I think Tom Brady's afraid to fail. I don't know if Carson Wentz has that. And that's rare. I mean, Michael Jordan had that and LeBron James. Like, we're talking about the greats, Barry Bonds. I don't know if Carson has that. I don't. 215-592-9494. What could we add? We could add the Eagles didn't let him go to his own coaches, and 6-month-old baby at home. We're going to get bingo here soon.
I hope so.
I don't even need the free space. 215-592.
What prize do you win? It's like a pencil eraser or something?
No, you know what you can win? There's a lot of empty seats. So I heard. I don't know if this be true, but I heard there's a lot of empty seats at the latest LTBB chapter meeting. They're empty. I don't get it.
They've been pretty quiet, haven't they?
The LTBB community?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I heard they're not going to meetings. I'm not sure what's happening. I'm here every night, and I don't know where those guys are. 215-592-9494. We'll come back. All your phone calls. And I want to play this for you when we get back, because I thought it was really interesting when it comes to Carson Wentz and it comes to the situation the Eagles have kind of created here with the drafting of Jalen Hurts, and like, would they ever take Carson in a game? Michael Irvin was actually on the Rich Eisen show yesterday or Monday, and he said something that I think was really interesting about kind of the Eagles control this situation now. They might not be able to for much longer. Michael Irvin, you'll hear from him on the other side, your phone calls, and we'll get into the Doc Rivers stuff with the Sixers. I'm pro Doc Rivers. We'll talk about it. He's apparently on his way to Philadelphia for an interview right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.